This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And the lawyer for McCoy's ex-girlfriend says the Bills running back orchestrated an attack that left her bloody amid attempts to get her to leave his suburban Atlanta mansion. That came down in a letter issued by the lawyer last night. No police report yet. The Bills maintain that they have been in contact with McCoy and are monitoring the situation, and no other details available today. The NFL supplemental draft taking place this afternoon. The Giants got the top pick in the draft, the top talent anyway. With their third pick in the third round, the Giants got former Western Michigan cornerback Sam Beal, 6'1" tall, ran a 4.47 in the 40-yard dash during a recent workout. And defensive back Adonis Alexander of Virginia Tech has been selected by Washington in the sixth round of the NFL supplemental draft. The Baltimore Ravens are going to play in the Hall of Fame game. They're also going to open the regular season against the Bills. And Ravens rookies reported to training camp today in Owings Mills, Maryland. They get an early week because of their participation in the Hall of Fame game this year. John Harbaugh's players report earlier than most teams due to the Ravens' participation in the Hall of Fame game. Sabres announced today they've added Steve Smith to the club's coaching staff in a role as assistant coach. He is a 9-year coaching veteran. Steve Smith joins the Sabres coaching staff. Roger Federer lost in a 4-hour, 5-set epic at Wimbledon today. Fell to Kevin Anderson. And also today, Anderson moves on to play Novak Djokovic, who won his match today at Wimbledon. World Cup semifinal today with the semifinal England and Croatia in Moscow. And England leads it by a score of 1-0 as the game is just getting started. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Steve Tasker starting our third and final hour. And joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, happy to have a frequent guest, the acknowledged sports business expert about the NFL and others. He is a host of the Business of Sports podcast, director of the Morehead Center for Sports Law at Villanova University. Andrew Brandt on the line with us. Hi, Andrew. John Murphy and Steve Tasker here. Thanks for joining
us. Hey, John. Busy as always in the NFL. It's interesting, the anthem policy just was brought out by the union with a grievance. It just reminds me of the conduct policy where the NFL ignored the union crafting its policy. They did it again, and here's what happens. The union files a grievance and says they want in too, but it just shows you the lack of trust between the NFL and NFLPA.
One of the things I saw in that statement and issued yesterday by the PA, though, and I don't know how much to make of this, Andrew, the Players Association says they will have dialogue with the league, right? I mean, isn't that a positive sign? They're going to talk about it anyway.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's too little too late. It just seems like the policy's crafted. I don't know what, maybe they'll get some tweaks on it. You know, I mean, the NFL's not going to give up much, if anything. So it's just, where was this when they were crafting it? And maybe they were just ignored, and now they got around to filing something.
Andrew, is it posturing by the NFL to put so much on the plate of the NFL Players Association so that in further negotiations as CBA comes to a close, there's just one more chip on the table that they can give or take that they really don't care about?
Yeah, Steve, you know what I don't understand is we've got Demaurice Smith and Roger Goodell both extended now past the CBA date, 2021. Yet, all we hear about is Armageddon and strikes and lockouts. It's never going to work, blah, blah, blah. Well, come on. Any moment of any day in the past few years and going forward, they can start negotiating. And this is where the lack of trust, the animosity between the two sides is not good for anyone, because all they seem to do is talk through lawyers. They never talk. I would suggest Roger Goodell and Demaurice Smith, with their wives, without their wives, have a beer, have breakfast, have lunch. Just do not talk business, because there's no relationship, and that hurts everyone.
And I agree. Back in the day when Gene Upshaw was the head of the union and Paul Tagliabue, they had a weekly lunch or regular lunch that they would sit down together and talk things over and really hash out some major issues literally over lunch.
That is exactly what could have and should have happened with this anthem policy. Instead, what are we? That was in May. We're 2 months past it, and now we see a grievance? I mean, come on. It's like, let's you know, I know DeMaurice Smith campaigned against the buddy-buddy that Gene and Paul had, but these are the kind of things where that really helps, these greasing over these issues like this. It's always something, right, with these right. two.
Andrew Brandt on the line with us. Andrew, in your former role as a top club executive with the Green Bay Packers, I'm not sure if you ever had a situation similar to LeSean McCoy's, but we're interested in your take on what the Bills' position should be now and what they should be looking at moving down the road here with still sketchy reports about what McCoy may or may not been involved in.
Yeah, my point of contact always in the position of kind of VP of the Packers, whatever the Bills' equivalent is, you have to point of contact to the agent. Agent's going to tell you what the – hopefully you have a good relationship, you can work through it, whether a coach or a player personnel guy or a position coach gets in touch with the player, that tends to be the relationship there. But you want to get all the information you can, and Drew and LeSean may not want to give you all the information. So it is a bit tense. You know, then you look down the road, a potential discipline, does it come from the Bills, does it come from the league? It seems like these teams all defer to Roger right now, that he's the one giving out all the discipline, so we'll see what happens. I think we're at this lull in the calendar, which is good and bad. It's good because nothing's really going on. It's bad because these things tend to drag without games or deadlines to make them happen.
What do you think the process is going to be for the National Football League? What are they? You know, I mean, they've got to have a point of contact too, but they can go outside their player, coach, team
right.
relationship.
And they look at police reports, and they look at they you know put one of their security guys on it. And I just think that they're going to have to consider everything. And one thing is, back in 2014 when this conduct policy came out, we talked about a exempt list paid leave for situations which seem to be exactly like this, where they're trying to find out more, doesn't look good. And remember, back in the day, we had Peterson with his kid and Greg Hardy with his girlfriend. They were put on that list. This seems to be tailor-made for that. We haven't really seen that since then.
I guess that's still an option, right, as this moves forward?
I would think so.
And I wonder your thoughts on the timing of it. The Bills, I would think, probably would like to do something as soon as they can, but there also is a benefit to waiting, right, to give it a little time to let the facts come out, basically. They need facts right now.
Yeah, they do. And we're seeing bits and pieces in social media, but we don't know. So they're like us, I would think. Yeah. Maybe they know more than us, but they're trying to figure out everything. And I think it's going to take time. And, a tough role for Drew. Because his loyalty is to his client. So I don't know how much he's sharing with the Bills and how that's working out.
You're talking about Drew Rosenhaus, the representation for LeSean McCoy, and you're right. The agent, really, you got to. If there's ever a time when you need an agent, this is it. Forget about contract negotiation. Navigating these waters, you need somebody who is connected and has some experience with handling. Forget about the PR. But also a law degree. I mean, you've got to have somebody. These guys got to get. I mean, that's everybody gets lawyered up.
Right, exactly, and that's what's going to happen. I think LeSean's not going to say much of anything, and same may be true beyond that.
Andrew, thanks for this. Good to talk with you. We hope to talk again sometime.
Always a pleasure, guys. Talk soon.
Andrew Brandt, MMQB Weekly columnist, handles the business of the NFL, the business of sports. He's director of the Morehead Center for Sports Law at Villanova. He makes a good point, Steve, about McCoy's situation, I believe, in that we're all eager. We're all, you know, breathless. What's next? What's next? What's it mean? What's it mean? And for the Bills, there's probably a benefit to just saying, let's wait a little bit. We didn't have a game for 7 or 8 weeks.
Right.
We didn't have camp for 2.5 weeks. Let's chill. Let's see what's out there. Let's see what the official facts are. I think that's a benefit for the Buffalo Bills, not to rush into something.
It is, because, you know, as Andrew Brandt just said, it's good that it happened now, not good because it kind of dominates the storyline of the season, but there are no games and no deadlines, and you do have a chance to sit back because there's nothing that you got to get ready for. You're just kind of waiting, marking time now for training camp to begin anyway. So at least they can take a deep breath and say, okay, we don't need to rush to any kind of judgment or action for or against, or, you know, in anything. They can just sit and wait because it's not costing them anything to make a quick decision. So they can take all the time they want to hopefully get it exactly right.
And his point about the, I think it was called the commissioner's exempt list, when it came out with Greg Hardy.
It was the exempt list paid leave. And they just set – it's for instance, just setting the guy aside. No consequences for him on the case in the case that he may be innocent, and no consequences for the team in the case that they may get caught by an act that was out of their control.
Why not do that, right?
Exactly.
I mean, if we get close to training camp and if they're still sorting through facts and sorting through deals on this, you know, Greg Hardy went through it a couple of years ago, as Andrew Brandt pointed out. It was 2000. I'm looking it up now. Hardy placed on the exempt commissioner's permission list, they called it. Now I've lost it here. The exempt permission list, and this the exempt list, the same one that Adrian Peterson went on, same day. Yeah, I do remember this. It was the same day back in September of 2014. Hardy arrested on assault for a female. Peterson had the issue with his son. I think both cases at the time, if memory serves, we're still in the fact-finding stage, and that's why it made sense.
I wondered,
set it aside, basically.
Was Reuben Foster ever on that list for what he
I don't
through?
Know. I think we would have known. And as Andrew said, it hasn't been used since 2014.
And they can come up with whatever loophole they want to set the guy aside, his roster spot, his career, his, you know, his presence, just set it aside from the team and from the league until the matters that are out of the league's purview get settled, and then they can make a decision on whether he'll be allowed to re-enter the league or be a part of it anymore. So, obviously, Adrian Peterson was readmitted off the list, and Greg Hardy was not. I mean, he was he's no longer in the league. So you're right. I mean, that's just one more degree of difficulty you have to sorting through this whole situation is how the league and what their league handles it and what their options are.
Hey, we didn't get a chance to ask Andrew Brandt about this. He had another engagement, and we apologize. We got to him late. We had too much fun at the last hour. I don't know what
we're talking about. Replay.
Oh, yeah, I went off on my replay rant. One of the things, though, that has come up, and I will always take the opportunity to talk bad about replay. One of the things that has come up, and I'm sure Andrew would have had some thoughts on this, was Russell Okung, who somehow got off on a Twitter rant about guaranteed contracts and the fact that they do not exist in the National Football League. What do you know about this, Stephen? What do you think about
this? Well, I read his tweets and his justification for them, and they make good sense when you sit and look at it objectively. NFL play, he'll say, and this we've got it up on MSG, I will never understand how billionaire team owners have convinced the public that the players who put their bodies on the line every week and make less than 50% of league revenues are the ungrateful ones. Well,
nobody says they're ungrateful, by the way.
Well, yeah. I mean,
do they?
No. Nobody says it because most of them are not ungrateful. They appreciate their careers. They appreciate the game. They appreciate certainly appreciate the paycheck. No question about it. The thing that every player wants, and I, you know, and to a certain extent, I've always sought after this, was security. When I sign a contract, I want to get that money. You know, I want to make sure that my family is taken care of and all the people in my life or whoever they may be. That I'm going to get it. And there's no guarantee of that. There's when you sign a contract, you may get, unless you get a signing bonus where all of it's up front, you're not guaranteed anything. And you may not see a single dime or dollar of the contract you sign. And that's always been a point of contention for the players. Now, for the owners, and the risk for the owners is obvious. If you sign a guy, for instance, let's take Drew Bledsoe. Robert Kraft signed Drew Bledsoe to a $110 million contract. 2 days later, he's out and injured, and Tom Brady takes over for him. You've got Tom Brady playing and Drew Bledsoe playing on a $110 million contract, and Drew Bledsoe can't even get on the field because he's physically injured. That is bad business. And owners are that's always been their stance and their justification for doing it. Or you've got players like Marcel Darius, who a lot of Bills fans in Buffalo think, picture this, and you can exaggerate it if you want. This guy signs the deal he signed with the Buffalo Bills, a very lucrative deal, and the Bills subsequently have traded him away. But before that, a lot of Bills fans think once he signed that contract, he was never the same player. Exaggerate that. A player who not only is he not the same player, he doesn't show up. He says, I don't want to play anymore. I don't want to risk my knees. It hurts me when I play. I'm done. I'm just going to sit here on my couch and collect my $100 million. Thanks, and I'll cash the check when it gets here. That's exaggerating. Obviously, you know, a player to have a hard time doing it, but that's also the players, the owner's stance. You've got guys who mail it in now when they sign a big contract. Why would you want to guarantee everybody that and have everybody mail it in and the league goes down the tubes as a result because nobody wants to play?
I think Okung's making some points, though. He is
absolutely.
You know, and he tweets and writes, considering football's level of brute, imminent, misspelled, physicality, high turnover, as well as the short life cycle of its participants, it would seem to me that NFL players are in the most need of fully guaranteed contracts. He goes on to say that people argued that it's apples and oranges, the NFL and other sports, and he said yes and no. League revenues are skyrocketing. A monster media rights deal is on the horizon. The business of football will never be the same. He wants players to convince ownership to respect them as partners, and you know, he's talking about redoing the CBA and allow. And I think you could do it now, a fully guaranteed salary. I don't think there's anything stopping it, but boy, I think owners would go to the wall to prevent that from happening. A fully guaranteed contract for anyone? I don't see that happening. Unless somebody,
I don't either. And the economics,
really has the leverage.
The economics of the NFL football are much different than they are for the NBA. Fewer players, fewer roster spots. 82-game schedule versus a 16-game schedule. But by the same token, the NFL has grown to the point where the revenues dwarf any other pro sports league. And the players right now are making less than half the revenues. And if you want to be considered a full partner, you should make, you know, give them half. You know, but that's only, you're talking 2% of the gross. But it's still spread among 26 guys. Plus the account, and here's some of the more knowledgeable points that Russell Okung made in his Twitter tirade. I don't know,
it was a tirade.
Yeah, is that the accounting techniques that they use to set the salary cap are antiquated and miscast in the present day economics of the National Football League. Those need to be reworked and relooked at so that the revenues that come to the NFL are all split and handled in a uniform and modern way to set the salary cap. So the salary cap should be different now in Okung's reason. And it's really reasoned quite well. There's no question that you can look at the dead money that's lost on the revenues. And what happens is if a team has a lot of dead money on their cap, the revenues are still there. They just don't have anybody to pay the money. They're not paying the money to anybody. It's dead. You're not allowed to pay the players that money. And that Okung says that money should still go to the players who are in the league. It was 10% of the overall cap of 5-point-something billion, the cap number this year for all 32 teams. So that money that is dead should still go to the players that are actually playing, and that's what the players have made.
I can see a revision and maybe an overhaul happening in the new CBA.
I think they can
revisit
that.
What are we, 3 or 4 years away?
Yeah, I think they should start on that right now. I don't think you need to go guaranteed money, but certainly the dead money that's in the cap space should still go to the pool of players that play the game.
This goes to the point you just made, though, with Andrew Brandt. The relations between the league and the Players Association are so strained and so, you know, fouled up, you can't imagine they would ever sit down and say, hey, let's get a jump. Maybe we should redo this CBA.
And I'm telling you,
right?
I think they can't
agree about anthems. They can't agree about anything.
It's an absolute mistake. And I think one of the things that – now, Deep Maurice Smith, the head of the Players Union, has done some really good things, and he has looked out for the players in a lot of ways. And I've never met him, so I don't know. But I think he did make a mistake when he came in. And I know you got to do what you got to do to get elected. We've seen that enough times. But I think it is a mistake for him to go on the platform with the Players Union and say, listen, I won't be buddy-buddy with the commissioner, whoever it is. Listen, a lot of great things, groundbreaking deals were cut over lunch between the commissioner and the head of the union. It is not that – to me, it is not that difficult to sit down and have lunch with the guy and talk to him, because I think that's how things get done. And I think if you're talking through litigation, I think it takes – an infinite amount of time longer to get things
done. Sure. Well, I mean, there's incentive to make it go long.
Yeah,
incentive to make it to drag it out.
Right.
Run up the fees.
Right.
Billable hours.
I think when the commissioner and the head of the union can sit down and have lunch and talk things over as partners rather than adversaries, I think things will get done. I think that's the way it should be. And DeMaurice Smith kind of sabotaged his ability to do that because he would be going against what the union rank and file hired him to do.
I would think a former player as yourself might be more open to the concept of guaranteed money, guaranteed salaries.
At first, I was not because I've seen – because, listen, it was hard for me to earn the money that I actually earned, and I saw enough guys take it out of gear, and I had to play with them. They were making, you know, three times the money I was, and they weren't putting forth the effort I was. So I had that. But also, I know that was the one thing I always strived for. I would have loved to have it for myself and my family.
Guaranteed money.
Yeah, guaranteed money. But I understand the economics of it. And I know players have always are striving towards it now. Kirk Cousins' deal, $84 million or $80 million, fully guaranteed over 3 years. I tip my hat to him. That's what every player has always strived for.
A break here. We're back with more. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Busy, man. We have the Twitter poll has been, like, completely forgotten. Once again, it was a runaway. It's one of those Twitter polls that I hate.
Whose Twitter poll? Was this yours?
No, I had nothing to do with this Twitter poll. I completely washed my hands of the entire incident.
Which Bills defensive player will make the Pro Bowl in 2018? That is the question we put before the folks here today. And as far as the responses, as Steve said, it is a runaway. More than 70% say, 72% say Tre'Davious White is the Bills defender who will make the Pro Bowl. And tell us why you think this too, by the way. 17% say Micah Hyde, who made it last year. 8% say Jordan Poyer. 4% have somebody else in mind. Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550, and we'll discuss. Call here from Mike in Las Vegas. Not on that topic, but go ahead, Mike. You're on the air with us. Hello, Mike in Las Vegas. Good, thank you.
Good. I had the pleasure of having dinner about 15, 16 years ago in Las Vegas with Jim Kelly.
And oh, cool.
We all have our prayers out to him, and we're just wondering how he's doing.
Steve, you did Kelly's camp two weeks ago?
A couple of weeks ago, I took a selfie with him. Plus, he's been on Instagram. He went to a wedding that was actually in Scotland this last week. So he's been traveling around the world. He just had an operation a couple of weeks ago that was a little bit more of a reconstruct post-operative recovery operation. It wasn't about the cancer. It was about reconstruction and cosmetics. And that seems to have gone well. And from my knowledge, he's doing great. He chimes in every once in a while on the Five Presidents text loop, I haven't talked to him lately, but I talked to him when he was at his football camp, and he seemed in really good spirits. So thank you for asking, Mike. I appreciate it.
That's great to hear. My thoughts and prayers are going out to him. And Steve, I enjoyed watching you playing football all those years.
Well, I appreciate it, Mike. It was fun while it lasted.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for calling from all the way in Vegas. You know, I guess it bears saying, Steve, Jim has been sick for so long and faced so many challenges that Mike reminds us, you know, you cannot ignore what he's been through, what he's going through, and how, you know, I guess courageous is the word, what he's done. You know, he's amazing. He's an amazing, resilient human being who's gone through an awful lot. And, yes, of course, we all pray for him and wish him well. And I stand in awe of his strength and his ability to continue to bounce back. I do.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. And the only time you'll see him kind of – yeah, he's just – you know, sometimes when it's been a bad stretch or whatever, he'll say, man, I'm just tired of being sore, hurting all the time.
Yeah.
You know? And that's one of the things you get.
That breaks your heart when
you hear
that.
Yeah, it does. And it also is one of the common denominators for old football players of whatever vintage you want to pick. They just – you know, they hurt too much all the time, and it kind of starts to wear on them. Although I got to say, Jim, when he feels good, he's his old self, and it's fun to see, and it's reassuring to see. But you're right. The guy's been an inspiration.
Yeah.
An inspiration.
Call here from Jerome. Go ahead, Jerome. You're on the air with us.
Oh, thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi. Thanks.
I'm a lifelong Bills fan forever. I'm going to be to even after the grave, to be honest with you. I just like to see the guys, what are they going to do to have the hunger in them to win a Super Bowl, go there and win it. I would like to see one. I say it every year. We're going to win the Super Bowl. I take in consideration that Tyrod helped us along, got us into the playoffs, and then they got rid of him. He knows the Bills. I mean, you get rid of a guy, I guess you got a better offer or something. But I'd like to see the Bills go to the Super Bowl and win it. Jim Kelly style, to be honest with you. I love the way he played. He, beside Joe Ferguson, I think he was the best quarterback that we ever had. You know, and that's just my personal opinion. Jim Kelly is the greatest to me. Because four straight Super Bowls, I've never seen that happen in my lifetime or anybody. I don't think nobody else has. That's not the point. How can we get there and stay and win? This is what I would like to see. That
we all would.
Well, I appreciate it. You're right. And you're right. I mean, Jerome, that's the idea. And your Jim Kelly style is right. I mean, because Jim, we were really fortunate to, and we've watched him since he retired. He lives here in Buffalo. I mean, he's a guy, he's part of the furniture here. I mean, people know him. And if you haven't met him, it's because you just haven't been out to enough places because that guy is here in Buffalo. And the thing about winning it like Jim Kelly, the thing that overrides everything about that team and about Jim and about, you know, his personality. He was a reflection of our city. He was blue collar. He wore his heart on his sleeve. When he was mad, you knew it. When he was happy, we celebrated together with him. He never hid anything, and Buffalonians are kind of like that. They're hardworking people, and they wear their heart on the sleeve. And Jim personified that on the football field, the way he played and the way he won and the way he lost. He was a tough competitor, all of that stuff. So when you say you want to win and go to and win the Super Bowl Jim Kelly style, you're right. That's the way Buffalo wants to do it. And we were fortunate to be at a time when we had a chance to do it exactly the way the city would like to do it. And I'm telling you, it was fun to be a part of. That's why that team was legendary, because of guys like Jim and the way they personified this city and the relationship between the fans and the players. And that's what this group is striving to do. This is what this coaching staff and this front office have tried to formulate here. And I've said this before, this is an easy team to cheer for. You got a lot. The guys they drafted this year are phenomenal guys. You can't wait to see them play. Jerome just called and said, we're going to win the Super Bowl. Murph, do I need to give him Kool-Aid, or is he dispensing the Kool-Aid?
He's got the Kool-Aid.
I think he's got the tap, and he's dispensing the Kool-Aid. So, yeah. Jerome, you're on. You all put you in for the person who is on the Kool-Aid dispensary committee.
Time now for NFL True or False, presented by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Couple of quick items from the NFL wire, stuff going on around the league. We want to talk about whether we believe it. NFL True or False. Here we go. Ready to go? Here we go. Randy Moss, Hall of Fame wide receiver, going to go in the Hall of Fame this year. He's in Tampa this week helping Bucs quarterback Jameis Winston. He's working with receivers too. Helping Bucs quarterback Jameis Winston, who obviously has got that 3-game suspension coming up at the start of the year after the incident with the Uber driver. Randy Moss says Winston can overcome this if he makes the right choices the rest of the way. He says he's pulling for him. He doesn't like to see players fail. Randy Moss will help Jameis Winston get better as a person. I think we're talking about here. True, false. Steve, you want to start?
I'm going to have to say at first, I'm going to have to say off the top, true, because I was reading the message that Randy Moss purportedly is trying to tell Winston, Jameis Winston, and it seems to be the right message. If you're going to, you got to have people in your life who are willing and able to tell you no. They're able to put in check. You don't want yes people in your life. You don't want people who are enabling you. You don't want to have people in your life who use you for a meal ticket so they never want to make you mad. You've got to have people that you love and respect in your life who love and respect you enough to tell you no and give you advice that is contrary to your wishes. And that's the message that Randy Moss is giving to Jameis Winston. Now that, so if Jameis is willing to listen and enact that stuff, yeah, Randy Moss can definitely help him.
I hope he does. I guess I'd root for him to have a positive impact on him. I worry that Jameis Winston may be beyond redemption. And so I'm going to say false. I don't know if he will help make him better.
Yeah,
that sounds pretty cold, doesn't it?
It's like everything. It's up to Jameis.
Yeah, it is. It's more about Jameis than it is about
Randy
Moss.
It's about Jameis.
Yeah. NFL true or false. This is very interesting. Gil Brandt, you know who he is, right?
Yeah,
longtime
sure.
Cowboys
executive.
He's an
encyclopedia.
Yes. He has written a post for NFL.com about the top wide receivers in NFL history. He's got number 5, Steelers, Antonio Brown. Let me go through the top 5 here. Jerry Rice, number 1, I think everybody would agree. These are the top receivers all time in Gil Brandt's mind. Don Hutson, Green Bay Packers, number 2. Okay. Never saw him play, but I know he's held in high regard. He's got Randy Moss, number 3, the aforementioned. He's got Lance Allworth, the 4th best wide receiver of all time. And then Antonio Brown. Brown's had great years A great year, six-time Pro Bowler for the Steelers. But you know what? I'd plug Larry Fitzgerald in there at number five ahead of him. So I'm going false on this. I don't know if he's a top five receiver. Top 10, yeah. You want to hear some other names, Steve, who are Marvin Harrison?
I read the list.
You saw the list? Larry Fitzgerald, Marvin Harrison, Bob Hayes, Chris Carter, Raymond Berry, Tim Brown, James Lofton. He's got ranked as number 13. Is Antonio Brown the fifth best wide receiver in NFL history? I say false. What do you say?
I say false. Absolutely false. I mean, he's great. No question. He's highly talented. The Steelers are a markedly different team with him on the football field. But putting him in that at number five all time, I think that's being a little bit a prisoner of the moment. I don't think just because this guy's flashing right now that he's going to be – that he's an all-time great. You look back across the course of history, I can't put him there. I can't. I mean, Calvin Johnson, I mean, really? I mean, you're talking about guys – and we were going to get onto this topic too, great players who are on bad teams.
Yeah.
I think Antonio Brown would be out of football if he was playing for the Cleveland Browns. Not, I'm saying that. I'm exaggerating. He wouldn't be out of football, but he wouldn't be that kind of player if he didn't have Ben Roethlisberger throwing to him. If he was on
and
a team,
Le'Veon Bell running the ball,
or if he was in Chicago for the Bears with Mitch Trubisky and whoever the long line of quarterback question marks they had in Cleveland, in some of these towns that didn't have a quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger for his entire career, who was an elite, established quarterback that wasn't going anywhere. Antonio Brown has put together some phenomenal seasons. But I don't think you could plug him in just anywhere like you could some of the other names on this list, and he would be as great. Good, yes, but he wouldn't be on this list. So I say false.
We both say false. Finally, NFL true or false. This one's kind of funny. Kirk Cousins remarking on the scrambling ability of future Hall of Famer Tom Brady. Kirk Cousins says Tom Brady scrambles like a, quote, baby giraffe. Says he respects him. Cousins says he respects him. He said, when we were watching video, Patriots Saints, some of the plays he made were great. I see some mobility, but he finds a way in the pocket to keep his eyes downfield. But he does say, Cousins says he looks like a baby giraffe when he starts to run around. True or false?
Yeah, now we've.
I'll say true. Yeah. Long legs, not extremely fast. Well, I'm going true with this one.
Yeah, I would say. I'm going to say false because his nickname on the Raiders is Clydesdale. So when he starts running, they say he looks like a Clydesdale running when he runs. So I'm going to say yeah, but he's not – he's no Tyrod Taylor. That's for
no.
Sure. Yeah, he's no Tyrod Taylor. And he does – you know, it's a testament to him that he can't run really well. But I don't know. I would not have picked a baby giraffe. So I'm going to say false.
You know what Brady does, and I'm paying him a compliment here. Yeah, he's not Tyrod Taylor mobile, but Brady has pocket awareness, like maybe as good as anybody.
Oh, anybody
I think.
Ever.
Sees where the rush is coming from, feels where it's coming from, knows how to take a step and a half to get away from the rush and make a play down, and to wait long enough to make the play downfield. He does that as well as anyone.
I think. Absolutely. That's part of the reason he's maybe the greatest guy to ever take snaps in league history. Certainly one of the most, if not the most successful guy to ever do it, because of his ability to keep his eyes down the field and not be bothered by the rush. So, yeah. But baby giraffe, I'm going to say no.
NFL, true or false, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. All right, a break here. We're back with more. One Bills Live, presented by Kalida Health. We're coming to you from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Okay, what have we learned from today's show? We like to learn every day. This is a learning project. Every day we come here to work 3 hours weekdays and hope to educate ourselves a little bit. And if you happen to catch a little education, then consider it a plus, right? What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had a good guest on, David Halberstam, not that one, but a distant relative. David Halberstam joined us to talk about a post that he wrote for the Sports Broadcast Journal about great tandems, two play-by-play guys, different sports, same cities. He had Van Miller and Rick Jennerette as his fourth all-time great play-by-play tandem. And David Halberstam talked to us about his take on Van Miller and what made him so great.
Today, doing a game on radio and painting the picture, being a wordsmith, it's an art that I'm afraid is being lost. Miller had it, without a doubt. had a great command of the language. He paused properly. He built the drama, and you can just hear it from the inflection in his voice.
Had a good conversation with David Havlestam about those two broadcasters, Rick Jenneran and Van Miller. Andrew Brandt joined us earlier this hour, sports business expert. He is the man behind the Morad Sports Law Center at Villanova University, NFL business executive, and a former executive in the front office of the Green Bay Packers. We talked with Andrew Brandt about a variety of topics, including the allegations made by people against the Bills' LeSean McCoy. We asked Andrew Brandt to give us an assessment on where he think the Buffalo Bills might be and where they should go in the near future with the McCoy allegations. Here's what he said.
You have to point of contact to the agent. Agent's going to tell you what hopefully you have a good relationship. You can work through it. Whether a coach or a player personnel guy or a position coach gets in touch with the player, that tends to be the relationship there. But you want to get all the information you can, and Drew and LeSean may not want to give you all the information. So it is a bit tense. You know, then you look down the road, a potential discipline. Does it come from the Bills? Does it come from the league? Seems like these teams all defer to Roger right now, that he's the one giving out all the disciplines.
Yeah, we'll see how that works out. Again, no new details that we can tell today about McCoy's situation. No police report filed. I don't know where it's going. We talked about it at the top of the show and throughout the show. We're just kind of on hold until this thing sorts itself out. The Bills are on hold. The Bills movement is on hold. As Andrew said, Andrew Brandt said, you know, the Bills have the option to be proactive when it comes to punishment if there needs to be some sort of punishment here. You don't have to wait for Roger Goodell. You can, right. A team can issue a suspension. Maybe that's the way they go. Maybe that's the best way to go. I don't know. And the Bills don't know. They have yet to say what their plan is or what they know about it.
That's right. And his connection, there's no connection been made except that his relationship with the girl and some of the circumstances that surrounded the home invasion. And if this is as far as it ever goes, it's going to be up to the team and the league to decide what that means to his future as a part of the organization and part of the NFL.
So we'll stay tuned in on that, right? All of us will, and we'll find out. I'm sure there's going to be some substantial. I was thinking about this today, Steve. If you're a NFL reporter, a national NFL reporter, this is a national NFL figure, LeSean McCoy, and a big story in a quiet time. I'm sure there's very many reporters going after details on this, and I don't think it will have to wait too long to get a sense of what may have gone on here, right? I mean, this is a big story at a time when there's
like
not a whole lot of NFL news.
Well, we would love to have the answers to all these questions and all the innuendo and the Twitter reaction and all of that. We'd love to have answers to put forth, and we just don't. And that's the frustrating part.
And we're not going to speculate, and we're going to wait and see. And I'm sure we'll talk more about it, unfortunately, in the days and weeks ahead. Tomorrow's show looks like it's shaping up to be pretty good. We've got a young man named Luke Tasker on the show with us. Steve's son, Luke. He plays for the Hamilton Tiger Cats in the CFL. How many years in the CFL for Luke?
This is his sixth year. They're on a bye week.
How old is Luke?
27.
A little panic set in there. 27-year-old Luke Tasker, East Aurora native. He would be, I would think, the most notable receiver on the Ticats roster. Is that right?
Brandon Banks is one of their guys. Terrence Tolliver is another guy. Guys who have had a cup of coffee in the NFL as well.
By week, they're what? 3-1?
They're 2-2.
2-2?
2-2.
And playing better than people thought?
Playing very much. They're playing really good football right now. They lost to a couple of really tough teams on the road, big road trips out west. And they're playing. They lost a couple of close games and have won some really convincing ones. So it's been a fun team to watch so far.
So Luke will be on with us tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And then coming up at 2, one of our favorites, Lorenzo Alexander with the lowdown. I believe Lorenzo's going to join us from his offseason outpost in Scottsdale, Arizona, where I read something on Twitter. He has been working out. So I want to ask him about this. Sounds like he's got a new workout partner or maybe a trainer that he's working with on his own out there in Scottsdale. Lorenzo is a physical freak and a physical marvel. You were here when I asked him about the break, you know, when minicamp ended before the training camp began,
right.
Do you slack off a little bit as far as your nutrition regimen? He goes, oh no, it's on now.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a freak, which is why he's still playing at age, what, 35?
He's still playing at 35, but it's at a position that is way different than the one he began.
Yeah.
I've talked about him at length about how he went from 315 down to 240 and I mean, I don't know how you do that. I mean, that's oof.
And go to Pro Bowls.
And go to Pro Bowls after you make that change, that transformation. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Lorenzo will be on with us tomorrow at 2 o'clock. I want to thank our production assistants. George Blass is not even here. Why is he on my list? Jeff Koltnick. No, George, we love you, but, you know, up for work. Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, and James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris. Back with another show tomorrow, 12 noon, One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.